Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
I'm Crispin Mwakideu in Bonn, Germany. Good morning and welcome to Africa Link. Our main stories this Wednesday, the 2nd of December. Pressure is already mounting on Burkina Faso's president-elect Marc Kaboré even before he assumes office.
Roch Marc Christian Kaboré, even if he worked before with the last regime, cannot do the same mistakes again, because he know now these people can do revolution, these people can change dictators.
Chinese President Xi Jinping is visiting Zimbabwe and South Africa as the Asian giant seeks to strengthen economic ties with Africa.
There are 10 agreements, and those, of course, have got wide financial implications when the agreements are signed.
Plus, fighting corruption behind the headlines in Kenya.
Most memorable protest that I'll never forget is Occupy Langata Primary School, where the deputy president of this country had grabbed a school playground to build a parking.
Stay tuned for these stories and more in this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
Roch Marc Christian Kaboré, that's who Burkinabés have chosen as their next leader. The French-educated banker who won Sunday's election with 53.5%. He has said he will make improving the economy his top priority. African Union chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma joined other world leaders in congratulating the Burkinabés on this historic election.
Oh, I'm very happy that it has gone smoothly and that the Burkinabé people made a decisive vote. We look forward to a new government and we hope now they can concentrate on development.
AU chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Kaboré was once the Prime Minister and Speaker of Parliament under the long-standing President Blaise Compaoré. The 58-year-old incoming president fell out with the ousted former ruler after he refused to support Compaoré's bid to change the constitution. But critics still consider him to be too close to the former regime. This report by Catherine Gensler is now presented by Susan Hulton.
Few people, if any, in Burkina Faso and outside had expected such a clear result. But 58-year-old Roch Marc Christian Kaboré swept the board on Sunday, winning 53.49% of the vote. However, Barthélemy Kéré, president of the Independent Electoral Commission CENI, took pains to underline that Kaboré was not the only winner.
I congratulate all candidates who took part in this election. They are all victors because of their campaigns, their fairness, their tolerance, and their respect for one another.
Throughout Monday, as results came in, Kaboré's success had become more and more certain. But it was still a surprise, as in the week leading up to the election, observers had more or less unanimously expected a runoff. But Kaboré's closest rival, Zéphirin Diabré, notched up just under 30% of votes cast, although he had been convinced that his promise to bring about change for the people living in the bitterly poor country would ensure him victory. Diabré was quick to acknowledge defeat.
Je n'ai aucune raison de douter de la sincérité des résultats ainsi publiés.
I have no reason to doubt the sincerity of the results published. I extend my congratulations to Monsieur Roch Marc Christian Kaboré and I wish him every success with his new mission.
Now it's up to Kaboré to show he can deliver. Soon after the result was confirmed, he said that reviving the economy will be a top priority of his presidency, along with improving access to clean water, healthcare and education. His promise to serve the country was received with great applause.
Que nous devons servir le pays.
He had a special message for the country's youth, women and the elderly.
Aux jeunes, aux femmes et aux anciens.
I wish to reiterate my determination to put in place a program to open up opportunities for a better future.
The country of almost 19 million people experienced several coups before the long-lasting presidency of Blaise Compaoré, Kaboré's predecessor. Compaoré had ruled for 27 years and would have liked to stay in power longer. To make that possible, he sought to change the constitution last year so that he could be re-elected. But he underestimated the Burkinabés, who made it plain that they had had enough. In October, tens of thousands took to the streets and forced the 64-year-old to resign. A major role was played in this by the citizens' protest movement Balai Citoyen, which has now become established as a non-parliamentary force in the country. The departure of Compaoré smoothed the way for what was to be a very special election, says legal expert Olo Puda.
An election without Blaise Compaoré is indeed a historic event, and I believe this election was also the most democratic.
With 14 candidates and no incumbent president, the outcome of an election in Burkina Faso had never been so uncertain. And it will be some time before it becomes clear how much change Kabore will bring. Critics say he is too close to the former regime. He was prime minister from 1994 to 96 and parliamentary president from 2002 to 2012. Many Burkinabés who voted on Sunday say they had the feeling that this time their vote really counted. Halidou Oudraogo is one of them.
I voted personally in 1990. That was a referendum on the constitution. After that, I never voted again, until now.
As proof, he shows his finger still marked with the ink from the polling station and beams with satisfaction.
That report was written by Catherine Genslam. The socio-political movement Balai Citoyen, or the Citizens' Broom, played a key role in Burkina Faso's political transition. It spearheaded the protest that toppled former president Blaise Compaoré. It also held joint rallies with then newly formed political party Movement of People for Progress, MPP. Kabore won the presidency on the ticket of the MPP party. Serge Bambara, popularly known as Smokey, is a performing artist and co-founder of Balai Citoyen. He's been telling me about the significance of this election.
Yeah, it's time for Burkina Faso to have this change. It's time for Burkina Faso to change everything, even if this result is not maybe the most popular result. But it's democracy and the people did this choice. But we have to play our role. We are the citizen, so we have to control the power. We have to asking government for results. If they don't do that, we have the right to manifest it. We have 5 years to prepare the new generation, young generation in politics. So we have to do this job. That's it for me. Now the locomotive of democracy is on rails now, and that's the most important thing, because this was not win before.
But we know that also in Burkina Faso, the military also is known to meddle in politics. How concerned are you that this could happen again after Kabore's election victory?
So I don't think so. It's not possible anymore. You know, people in Burkina Faso have been fighting for that. Now we know it's not possible for any president to do more than 2 mandates. This is forbidden now. This is the Article 37 gets sacralized. So nobody can do more than this, and no military can come in power now. It's okay for everybody. We have did some change in constitution, and I think people from Burkina Faso now, their eyes open. So it's going to be very, very hard and very difficult for any military to come again into power.
A lot of people say that the president-elect Kabore was very close to the former ruler Compaoré. How different is he from his former boss?
We knew before that it will not be easy because, you know, there were two, you know, supposed to be president. So we know that it's not, you know, it's not a real choice. You know, it's not, maybe it's not the people choice, but that's the democracy choice. So we have to deal with it. And I think Rochmar Christian Kabore, even if he worked before with the last regime, cannot do the same mistakes again, because he know now these people can do revolution. These people can change dictators. If you don't work for the people, people can change you. It's possible. It's even possible for him not to finish his mandate. He know that. So I think he's not going to have any choice but working as we want him to work.
A new electoral code barred the candidates from the CDP from running for the presidency. But again, observers say that they could have a strong result in the legislative elections. How do you view the CDP as an opposition?
CDP have the same right on the overall organization. The problem, the CDP was not forbidden. That was some of the leaders of CDP because they were putschists, because they helped putschists, because they did some crimes. That's why they were forbidden to participate in these elections. But the rest of the people, if they want to militate in any part, that's their right. You know, they can do that. If CDP come again in legislative and became strong, good for them. But I mean, you have some new forces now in Burkina Faso. Some new young forces are here now. Some new political parts, some new civil society, some organization of human rights. So are people going to play their part?
Serge Bambara, also known as Smokey, co-founder of Balai Citoyen, a grassroots pro-democracy movement in Burkina Faso.
News, analysis, and feature reports, all that here on Africa Link.
Africa has an estimated 1 billion people. 75 million, or three-quarters of them, have paid a bribe in the past year. That's according to a report by Transparency International. In Kenya, it is estimated that the country loses 30% of its revenue due to corruption. Several cabinet secretaries have been forced to resign after allegations of being involved in graft. On Tuesday, a cross-section of Kenyans held a march in Nairobi to protest against corruption. James Shimanyula was there and filed this report.
More than 20 activists were arrested as they marched to State House to petition the president over corruption. Led by Kenya's renowned activist Boniface Mwangi, the group was calling on quick arrest and prosecution of officials involved in graft.
The government is afraid of the people. It is afraid of the people, not Boniface Mwangi. The issues are very simple. Fight corruption and fight impunity. That's what we want. It's very simple. Why are they afraid of us? What have we done?
The march by the activists started at Uhuru Park in central Nairobi and took them to Kenya's Supreme Court before proceeding to the road leading to the presidency. Police blocked the protesters' attempts to proceed to State House, the official residence of President Uhuru Kenyatta. On phone, Kenya's police spokesman Charles Owino justified the arrest.
I don't understand the circumstances clearly of what happened. I'm sure if you saw them getting arrested, then they must have been prejudicing the rights and freedoms of others. Either they did not inform the police or they were occupying even roads.
The Nairobi march also attracted dozens of human rights defenders. 22-year-old Florence Kinyua was one of them.
We are pushing, hoping that it will bring it to an end. But if it doesn't end, human beings are human beings. The leaders we have, they are not angels. They have always been doing this and this, and we are still pushing.
34-year-old Nairobi activist Benson Itoele simply said the time was ripe for Kenyans to team up in their fight to wipe out corruption from the face of the country.
This is the time every one of us needs to stand and talk against this corruption, because this vice is eating and bleeding our nation.
According to latest study from Transparency International, more than 60% of citizens of the East African community doubt their government in a fight to combating corruption. Joseph Nongarwa, a teacher aged 33, warned the Kenyan government.
My message to the government is that corruption is eroding our chances of progressing. A lot of the people who are really doing damage in this government are not being prosecuted.
The past 6 months have seen arrests of top government officials for their alleged involvement in massive graft, with several suspects taken to court where their cases are pending for hearing. The Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has been under pressure to fight corruption, which himself singled out as a priority shortly after taking office in 2013.
DW correspondent in Nairobi, James Shimanyula. We shall be hearing more from Boniface Mwangi in Behind the Headlines. You're listening to Africa Link from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany.
Behind the headlines.
And we stay with the topic of corruption in Kenya for this week's Behind the Headlines, where we meet someone who is trying to fight the vice. Boniface Mwangi is a successful photojournalist. He came to the limelight after taking pictures of the post-election violence of 2007. But Boniface was not satisfied with just taking still pictures. He's become an outspoken critic of the Kenyan government due to corruption and mismanagement. Nadina Schwarzbeck met Boniface in Nairobi and sent us this report. It's now presented by Privilege Mushaniri.
Graffiti-like pictures of prominent activists welcome you as you walk into the premises of Power 254. It is here that young Kenyans interested in political issues meet. Established and run by Kenya's prominent photojournalist Boniface Mwangi, Power 254 uses social media to mobilize fellow Kenyans to protest against corruption and nepotism.
So when I started as an activist, I was alone. I was this artist, photographer, come activist, was doing things on his own. And I realized that if there was a community where people like me worked every day and interacted with other people, we could actually build a movement.
Now he has over 27,000 followers on Twitter. Boniface Mwangi is well known for speaking about controversial issues and often criticizing the government. The 32-year-old not only organizes talks and discussions at Power 254, he also organizes demonstrations.
Most memorable protest that I'll never forget is Occupy Langata Primary School, where the deputy president of this country had grabbed a school playground to build a parking. And he went there to join the kids to reclaim back the playground. There were police officers who were armed. They threw tear gas at the kids, but the kids never gave up, and they came back and reclaimed back the playground.
Even outside Kenya, Boniface activism is well known. 26-year-old Sarah Malia comes from Malta. After she watched a documentary about Boniface, she decided she wanted to work for Power. 2 years ago, she started as an intern, and now she's employed there.
Everything that we do here has that, a bit of an activist twist, you know? So how do you use, you know, how do you use social media for social change? Yeah? How do you use social media to speak about different social injustices that are happening within Kenya? So a lot of our trainings do focus on that.
Over 100,000 young people have now taken part in workshops, for instance, in the so-called Team Courage. They hold weekly meetings in the evenings, and most of them are here because of Boniface Mwangi, as Malia points out.
So, yes, I think he is a role model in that effect, you know, a role model for young people to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore, this is not right. A role model for people who want change in their country.
For Mwangi himself, organizing activism in Power 254 is just the beginning.
My ideas for the future, I would like to play a bigger role in the governance of this country, or get to a place or a public position where I have a more defined role in the work that I do.
Until then, he never lets an opportunity to network pass by. With all his influence, he hopes to shape Kenya's youth into responsible citizens.
That report was compiled by Nadina Schwarzbeck. Christmas may have come early in Zimbabwe and South Africa. Chinese President Xi Jinping is visiting the two countries and has brought along goodies with him in terms of trade deals. After meeting President Robert Mugabe on Tuesday, the Chinese leader will today travel to South Africa for the China-Africa Cooperation Summit. As our correspondent in Harare, Columbus Mavunga, reports, cash-strapped Zimbabwe is hoping that Jinping's visit will help stabilize the country's faltering economy.
Thousands of people lined up Harare's roads to welcome President Xi Jinping. These included Chinese nationals, Zimbabwe school children, and Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party supporters. Much hype had been created ahead of the visit, and Zimbabwe's former ambassador to China, Christopher Muchangwa, expressed his government's hope for the visit.
China has become the second largest economy in the world. So we are hoping that the arrival, the coming in of the president of China to Zimbabwe, puts the spotlight on Zimbabwe as a country which can become a destination of foreign direct investment. So it's a very important visit from the point of view of injecting new dynamism into the Zimbabwe foreign direct investment market.
Some deals with China were already signed when President Mugabe visited Beijing in August last year. However, most of the agreements have not yet come into effect more than a year after the signing. Secretary for Foreign Affairs Joey Bima spoke to journalists on explanations soon after the arrival of the Chinese leader.
There are 10 agreements, and those, of course, have got wide financial implications when the agreements are signed.
The agreements are said to be in the areas of infrastructure development, communication, civil aviation, and transport, among others. China has become Zimbabwe's close friend since the West started shunning the Southern African nation for violating human rights. Since then, Zimbabwe has adopted what it calls Look East policy, thus relying on China for trade. French ambassador to Zimbabwe, Laurent de la Hose, was among dignitaries that welcomed the Chinese leader at the airport together with President Robert Mugabe.
Well, I think that this is the visit of a very good friend of Zimbabwe in particular and Africa in general. As France being other very good friends of Zimbabwe and Africa, we are very happy that Africa and Zimbabwe have so many good friends. I wish that this visit leads to very interesting business partnerships. Zimbabwe definitely needs many friends from all over the world to come and invest and create jobs and rebuild the infrastructures. I hope that all of this is in the vision of a long-term relationship and not like cash and run short-term mega deals.
China is increasing its interest in Zimbabwe and Africa, though its economy has weakened in the past 2 years. In 2014, trade with Zimbabwe amounted to over $600 million and $200 billion with Africa as a whole. On Wednesday, the Chinese leader is traveling to South Africa for the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation Summit.
Columbus Mavunga in Harare.
Opinion.
And let's return to our top story for this week's opinion. After a year of political turmoil, Burkina Faso elected Roch Marc Christian Kabore as its next leader. The president-elect served as a prime minister and speaker of the National Assembly under dictator Blaise Compaoré. And we'd like to hear your opinion. Do you think the incoming Burkinabe president is too close to Compaoré? Send us your opinion either via text message to country code 49160957595510. An email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. And also check out our webpage, dw.com/Africa, where you can find, among other stories, an article that questions the ties between Kabore and Compaoré.
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.com/Africa Link Podcast.
A quick reminder of our main stories before we leave. Burkina Faso president-elect Roch Marc Christian Kabore has said improving the economy would be his top priority. Chinese President Xi Jinping is in Southern Africa, where he is expected to sign a number of trade deals. We've also been hearing about the fight against corruption by Kenyan activist Boniface Mwangi. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. Do join me same time tomorrow. And until then, I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Have a great day ahead.